Today I'm going to take up from where I left off last week. The Synod for Africa has been going for 14 days now, and participants are preparing to wrap it all up next Sunday. And as I told you last Monday, I have really been trying to make the most of the Synodal Fathers, and of all the other participants too. I do that by popping down to the Synod Hall almost every day, and during their 10:30 coffee break, go up to them, introduce myself, and interview them, notwithstanding an inevitable background din of clinking coffee cups and conversation. 2 weeks ago, I asked them for their opinions regarding the role of the media in Africa. Last week, my question had to do with their expectations regarding this synod and what they hope it will produce.
How hopeful are you that the synod papers will actually have an effect once the synod is over and done?
I think, you know, after the first African synod, we probably had unrealistic expectations that great things would start happening immediately.
Cardinal Wilfred Fox Napier is the Bishop of Durban in South Africa, and he's also one of the delegate presidents of the synod.
But what has happened is, it's taken 15 years, and in some places, at the end of those 15 years, people are only now starting to realize why it is important to have a justice and peace commission in a diocese or even in a parish. It isn't about political injustice, it's about all other kinds of injustice and reorganizing society so there are no people who are disadvantaged that should be all on a par, given a fair chance. And I think those who were here for the previous one, those who have been in the process of trying to implement the previous synod, will be more realistic in saying, well, we know reconciliation is something very difficult. It's like, how would I say, trying to catch a shadow, because how do you reconcile people when they're at either end of a spectrum? And yet, I think what happens at a synod is a certain atmosphere, a certain spirit is planted in the hearts of people, which makes us realize, hey, we don't belong on the outside. We should be on the inside, helping people find reconciliation, even if it's in the political field. The church must go in there, not because we want people to do things the way the church wants, but to see the things that are common to us, and the church is simply there as a catalyst to get them going.
So, a certain spirit is planted in the hearts of people during a synod such as this, says Cardinal Napier, as we strive to help people find reconciliation. Now, I don't think I've said as much so far, but reconciliation, together with justice and peace, are the main themes of this synod. And as Cardinal Napier, who's so creative with words and images, says, the Synodal Fathers are not here to catch a shadow, but to find common ground upon which to build. And that is definitely something I heard from others as well.
What do you expect from this synod?
I would hope that we will go back with a new sense of energy and enthusiasm.
Father Robert Patrick Ellison is the Bishop of Banjul in the Gambia.
It hasn't been easy for our local Catholics, say, to see things as we might see them here. You know, when you're talking with people who are leaders and like-minded, exactly, that's the word, and you go back to your own diocese, it's very hard to communicate the spirit of hope and the needs as we discuss them here. So that is the most important thing that I would have to do as head of the church, to be able to communicate the fact that, yes, a lot of good has been done. Here are the areas where we must get up and go a little bit harder. As I said, the area of self-reliance, the area of perhaps even a little bit more commitment to the various, particularly to the poor and the needy in our diocese.
Another thing I have probably neglected to say so far is that, as well as the over 200 bishops who are participating in this synod, there's also a fair number of auditors and experts, men and women, involved in giving their contribution. Sister Cecilia Mkhonto, the General Superior of the Sisters of St. Bridget in South Africa, told me she is hoping for more collaboration between different members of the church, as well as raising the voice of Africa within the Universal Church.
What do you hope might come out of this synod?
We are hoping that we become more of a universal church, and Africa has a voice in the universal church. And on top of that, that we don't do our own thing, but we will align with Rome in whatever we are doing. And also the collaboration between the bishop and the major superiors, and then it filters down out to the grassroots where the people are working. And the involvement of lay people is counting a lot.
Another interesting woman I met was Sister Liliane Sueco of the Sisters of Notre Dame de Namur. She's currently in Rome but has spent 7 years working in one of Africa's most ravaged nations, Zimbabwe. As is true for all those who work in Zimbabwe, she demanded respect for the people there and for her sisters who could find themselves in danger should she reveal anything the president of that country and his men may not want to be said.
Do you think that a gathering such as this will really bear some fruit as far as the concerns of real Africans go?
I believe, because God is working and we need to make known our voice. We need to make known our voice because it's the work of the Spirit, and the Spirit works through people. As we are here as a family of God, we believe, we know that we are going through a lot of suffering in Africa, but many good things also are happening, and we can contribute a lot in Africa.
Tell me about the good things.
Good things, but we have many values, for example, that we can say, and we can share with the world, we can share with the church. A such synod can be very fruitful to make known our voice, and many people are hearing what we are saying at this particular moment in our history.
So the need to make known the voice of Africa is paramount here in the Synod Hall right now. Cameroonian Bishop Jean Mbarga confirmed to me that this is true.
To meeting like this is important to bring all the voices together, right?
Yes, this one, the Synod, is has a good capacity of information first. No. To listen all this representation is very rich. And after that, we are looking for new strategies to improve our capacity to help the Africa, to help the society in Africa. And I think that at the ecclesial level, we have also this specific capacity to open the problem of Africa to the whole world. That is the universal aspect, which is very important. It's not only the problem by Africans to the Africans, it's now the problem of the world and the humanity, all the humanity.
Yes, it's a chance to bring news of the reality, no, the many realities of Africa, both good and bad, to the rest of the world. As Bishop Mbarga says, to the whole of humanity. But it also works the other way. As Bishop George Biguzi of Sierra Leone told me, Africans back home are also awaiting for news.
What do the people of Africa want to hear coming out of this synod, in your mind?
Well, I believe that the Instrumentum Laboris already sets the goal. They want to hear, of course, people are looking for liberation from the troubles, for healing, again, for greater justice, freedom from oppression, and also the all terrible wars of different types, so that people have to keep running here and there as refugees without security. So there are a lot of things actually the people expect. They know that the church doesn't have the magic wand, you know, to solve everything, and that a lot of things actually are responsibility of governments. Our responsibility as pastors is to be, as you say, well, prophetic, to bring the word of God and on the actual situation, inspire people, give direction, service. Well, the church has been doing this from the beginning, you know, our involvement in spreading the word of God, the dignity of the human being, and then all the social services that the church runs throughout the continent, in education, health, development, all sorts. So people look to the church, at least to lead in the way of development, of freedom, and reconciliation. So the expectations are many. We know that we are not God, we are God's servants, and I believe that with God's help, with the Holy Spirit, we can really do a lot moving forward to reconcile the people, to have a more just society and a peaceful coexistence.
In his comprehensive answer there, Bishop Biguzzi touched on the issue regarding the responsibilities and the challenges of leadership. This is an issue that the Archbishop of Johannesburg and President of the Bishops' Conference of Southern Africa, Father Buti Tlagale, spoke to me about at length. Actually, very courteously, upon my invitation, he came to the radio himself for a quiet chat away from the din of coffee cups and background conversation. What is your hope that the synod may create? Or you're going to go back to South Africa. What do you think the people in South Africa want to hear from you?
I guess we're probably at slightly different expectations. My expectation of the synod is that we will speak in one voice, be a visible leadership across boundaries. Select one or two or three things we want to put up a fight about and do it and seek to achieve results. That's what I would like to see happening. I would like to see a committed leadership, a collective leadership, an accountable leadership.
You said something interesting. You said the unpleasant challenges of leadership.
Unpleasant in the sense that most, when these things come up, when we fear reaction from the people we criticize and we want to back away. And also, if you take, for example, the example of Pius Ngube, look what has happened to him. It could happen to any of us.
You may or may not remember, but Pius Nkube, the former Archbishop of Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, was widely known for his human rights advocacy and for being an outspoken critic of Zimbabwe's president. He was quite clearly framed and forced to resign in 2007 after calling for a peaceful rebellion to bring democratic change to his suffering nation.
So when we challenge the political leadership with all the might they have, they might actually turn around and make your life impossible. So by virtue of being in a position of leadership, you have access to a certain level of support of the people by virtue of that position of responsibility. But people also expect you to take certain risks. And it is those risks that I'm referring to, that they can be very unpleasant, some of those challenges. And we have to be stand up and be counted. If we did that together, obviously in our situation at times we have to do that as individuals where we are concretely, but as a country, for example, we've got to do that as a collective, so too across the region. I mean, if you look at SADC, the political level, we've got SADC, and then we've got the AU at a continental level. Even politicians feel the need of working together at those levels, so too the church. You know, we've got to work together. If we succeed in doing that, in having a common commitment, then we will be able to produce results. We won't just make claims. We'll be able to follow through on the promises we make to the people we serve. Our job is simply to serve communities. And if they feel oppressed, deprived, we've got to speak on their behalf. And if we do that without fear, without favor, then we will be doing our job. So I think in many ways the expectations are that since you claim to be leaders or we've put in position of responsibility, behave like leaders and help us, help alleviate the pain, the poverty, the stress of the people. That's what we're called to do.
Yes, if all those in positions of leadership accept the challenge and really behave like leaders, if they all follow through on the promises they make to the people they serve, as Bhuti says, without fear and without favour, a big step is sure to be made in the alleviation of the pain and of the poverty of all African people.